very well said.
Our runoff to and milking 400 cows, and since then we've purchased another 270 acres and now milking approximately 480 cows and semi-self-contained. We have been in the process of at Christmas time going once a day, and this year taking the plunge to full-time once a day. Our son is an ag, Kauhio is an ag contractor, so we understand that side of the industry also. We do not consider ourselves greenies, might be a good word to use, but we're just ordinary farmers doing our bit, as I guess 80-90% of other farmers do the same. Just a wee small insight to our practices. My wife's probably greener than I am, but we've fenced off four blocks, two of them into brown tussock as reserves. One is she's planted in, all out in natives, and the other one's just a swampy area that's got cabbage trees, which informs me the cabbage trees have their own special DNA, and she's gone now from 8 to about 16 in this block. So that's just one of the things we do. We also were one of the initial 12 people that, don't know how we were selected, but we're selected with John Scandrett to form Dairy Green. So we've been in K-Line probably since we've been dairying. So we've been, with John, been pioneers in K-Line. In association with this, we also have three duck ponds, and I don't hold a firearms license, so that's just part of what we've done. And one sedimentary pond we've had a go at. We have an active shelter belt planting program, and we have put several shelter belts in, and still in the process of putting more. As I said before, we're semi-contained, and we winter approximately 300 cows at home. Our farm is considered a rolling to steeper, and since we purchased the 200 acre block next to us, it's probably gone steeper. To this degree, I feel qualified to speak on the following topic, and also we're in the process of block next door, our daughter and son-in-law purchased, and we're in the process of turning it to a dairy farm. We've got all the consents. So after three of them, I can certainly tell you the consent process of being able to turn to dairying has changed dramatically. And I also, from what we used to do in 2000, it was probably horrific. But in the end, I think it was only three of us in the same area. Now it's probably 33. So I do appreciate the environmental issues we do have. I just mainly want to talk on the 22 degree topic at the moment, because that personally is probably our greatest, just for us, affects us the most.
So that's the cultivation rule.
The cultivation rule, yeah. I've just got to get the right page, sorry, gentlemen.
Yeah,
that's fine. This is going to have to be off the cuff, I think. We've had some issues with some environmental people. We've got one now in particular that's been absolutely fantastic, and he is a lot to do with why we've now changed our mind on the 22 degree rule and our buffer zones. As Carl was, he's a contractor, he does have a lot of problems. If you can understand, they just want to come down here with 200 horsepower tractors, plough down through the gully and plough back up the other side, and we have a hell of a job trying to convince them that we want buffer zones. But I think even now he's just giving in a little bit. But these photos were taken by an Environment Southland person. Just aside to that, now when we started out in dairying, it was Hishmash, and then we started up with Key Vets, and that has simplified our dairy operation immensely. And this is one thing that I've mentioned before, but it would be great if we could actually have a key consulting officer that took care of most of our requirements. We built up a rapport with him, and he helps us one hell of a lot, and we help him one hell of a lot. Rather than having individuals come, we had a case the other day where we were just audited, our yearly audit. We've had 17 of them. When he got out of the car, I think he probably said good morning, but the first thing he did was lock his door. And then we got inside, and I said, you didn't have to lock your door. But and then he showed me his badge. It didn't get us off to a good start. We've been going 17 years, and we just need to, we all need to be friends for a start. I know I'm off the track, but we would work a hell of a lot better with environmental people if they could work with us. And by having a key person, he would come up to our drive, he'd know whether he had to lock the door or not. So, but anyway, we've after talking with this guy, I've come to the conclusion this is probably not a bad idea, but probably got, again, 80-90% of farmers, we don't like being told what to do. But these photos were taken after approximately an inch and a half of rain. I've got another photo of somewhere of the creeks after that. But this here is a lot greater than 22%, and as you can see from there, there's hardly any sediment at all on the off where the cows have been. I think the cows at that stage were just over the top of the hill. But this is my argument, like with the buffer zones, with working leaving out gullies, we can. It's making a huge difference, and I firmly believe that we should take the degree of slope out of consideration. As I said, we're rolling to steeper. We went to semi-self-contained, and to make our place viable, we need to winter our cows at home, and also we need to regrass these areas. By incidents, when I'm saying we are now in the process of our daughter and son-in-law probably coming home. With our nutrient loss, we're not going to be able to work this land later on. So as a personal thing, probably 2 or 3 years' time we won't be working it, but I'm looking out for other farmers in the same regard. We had an incident, when we had this inch and a half of rain, we had a neighbour's block who had a huge catchment of water, and it was coming down and flowing onto our neighbours, who was totally flat land. When it came down from the gully, it all spread over the flat land, and he actually had sheep on breaks at that stage. And I would say there was more sediment loss coming off that land at that particular time than there was coming off our steep land. But we're not here to criticise our neighbours or dairy farmer or any other type of farming. There's a big area, a big concern is it's the catchment of the land behind where you're grazing is as important as the slope. Okay, so these are actual photos taken after an inch and a half of rain to back up my point that we can actually have a greater than 22% degree for working. I just go through a couple of concerns I have with the 22 degrees. Is who will police the 22 degrees? How's it done, and who's responsible for doing that? I've spoken about the catchment, I believe, of area behind the land. Is, as you can see from there, the only catchment there really is on top of the hill. But if we had another great big hill behind it and it was coming down, we're probably heading into more problems. But given what we're pretty old fashioned, but staunch to our ways, I now understand where we're coming from. Given time, we have come to the environmental side of things, and we're working with it. Instead of been told this is law, I think you have other ways of getting farmers or getting people to come around to your way of thinking. Because it still worries me, we've got all that water coming off our land and we have to deal with it. I just wonder whether Invercargill, Gore, Wyndham, whatever you like to do, when it rains and their stormwater is going down their tanks, what are they going to do? So we all have to be aware of where we're going. Probably me bloody glasses, sorry.
It's all right.
For us on this land, it could be a break even, you know, profit or loss, whether we're able to work this land.
Yeah.
So we have a human and a moral obligation to survive. And
yeah.
I know people on Flatline, probably half us in this room, don't care whether Auckland survive tomorrow or not. People on flatland or people in town don't care whether we survive or not. But I do care whether we survive or not, otherwise we're not farming.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for several times now, and as I said, Carl's coming home to take over that, and I've got a daughter trying to get him to the farm next door. We're all about sustainability ourselves, and we're fighting hard to survive too.
Yeah.
It's also an interesting point. We have compaction, and I don't have any proof on it, but I find that with the high compaction soils, our nutrient loss is probably a hell of a lot less than what other people think it may be, and whether anything's been done on that is interesting to say, but I would imagine that their nutrient loss is not as great as perhaps what people may believe. I have trouble that we need consent to do all these things. The screen there, in this particular photo, you can actually see that where the creek bed used to be, it wouldn't have taken half an hour.
Good girl.
Are you? To have actually dug out the creek and righted that stream. It was in the video, and I've just taken photos of it. But we wouldn't have had a 15 minutes to 20 minutes to have actually stopped that water going into that creek. Now, I would say there's been more soil come off where that's been released than what come off our paddocks during the winter. So we have to be aware that we just don't have one rule for one and another rule for another. We all have to, say, work together. And you let us do bits down the creek if you're going to make us do bits up the road. I'm sorry, but that's all jumble. But if you have a question, please ask.
All right, we'll see. And Carl, did you want to add anything?
Or just the other thing with us providing all these areas to capture and hold water, that it would be nice if we were able to be able to get rid of the water as well, like as we've noticed, like with keeping fencing off of the creeks and the amount of weeds and everything that's slowly built up in some of these creeks is slowly backing up the water. It's not getting away near as fast as what it used to be able to. There's a bit up the road from us where we had it, where the council haven't been able to dig a wee bit out, that now floods on the main road quite a severe bit. So with us capturing and keeping all this water, it'd be nice to be able to get it away. And then from a contractor's point of view, it would also be very nice to clarify if this degree of land, or say something comes in of that extent, where do contractors stand if we go in and we don't really have a level or anything in a tractor, whether we blow a knob off on a hill and we end up with 250 horsepower, we might not really notice it as much. Whether are we going to get slapped on the hand, or sort of how does that go for us if we've got a client saying head into there, or they're not, they said no, plough through that swale, or have we got a right to say no, or where does that come in?
Good point.
So it's just on that side of it, I'm a bit worried. Like, yeah, but like I have, I used to just plough through it, get it done. But no, I am, after seeing what happened on that farm, I'm now doing it at the runoff block up the hill, any steep sides, I'm just leaving in grass, ploughing the tops and where I can, and I reckon it's brilliant. So that side of it, I reckon, great job. But just the smaller finer points, if stuff comes in.
Yeah. Just go back, we do have a runoff in the Otago region, and we purchased that in, I think, about 2003, and we decided then, because it's a lot steeper than this, it wasn't viable to work the ground. So this was done way before people started worrying about steep ground. So we've built four sheds, we have a pond, and we make silage off our land during the year. And so the cows are in four sheds and fed silage. So why go back to this after seeing what we've done up there, I firmly believe that the degree of land, for us anyway, is entirely workable. I was talking to one of your councillors, and he said, we do have to have rules, because someone one day is going to go and break them. We need a line to be able to prosecute him or do something to that understanding. I do see where you go, where if someone's breaking something, unless you have a law, you can't do anything about it. But how you have a law and you let us get away with it, I guess that's your problem. We're only here to criticise you when you do it. But I firmly recommend that the degree of slope is removed. I agree with your buffer zones. I think buffer zones need to be... As I said, if you've got a steeper piece of land, you might need to build a bigger buffer zone. Our buffer zones, that not this block, but another one has gone back in this year, and the buffer zones are twice as big as last year. And we've done that on our own accord and not been told. So I think you'll find that people will naturally come to your way of thinking. Like, it's, if you have a policeman and he's always inside the 50k an hour, it won't take long to everybody's 50k an hour before they go past him. So.
Okay.
Any questions for me?
Let's see if we have questions for you. Oh, I'm starting at you.
Thank you. You did say that you agree with, in your original submission, that you agreed with Rule 21, which is the dairy conversion rule. Is that right?
Which you, Rule 21?
That's about converting farms to dairy.
Did I? In what regard?
Well, you just said it in the report that said you wanted the rule retained, which means kept as is, I understand.
What are the rules of retaining?
Well, it's a bit complicated. Oh, yeah, Joanna.
What
rule
is it, sorry?
Rule 21.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's probably been a miss sight, but I'm not. I'm not too sure, but as things develop, as we go back to when we converted a farm in 2000, what we did was absolutely wrong. I've got no problems with it at all. We're going once a day, because of us, because of cows, because of the environment. I believe there was a people here speaking yesterday from Balfour that were, they had their hearts and souls taken out of them. I really do find that when they're there, I find that hard to do to those people. But if we have some land now that we're going into, with our son, our daughter and our son-in-law, the rules are they are so tougher than when we went in 2000. But I think that's probably the way we go, that when we go into things, we know what we're buying. I know it's tough on the people who are going to sell it. They had sheep and wanted to sell it to Darien because it's the way, but that's probably the way. You know the rules before you go in. I was just talking to John Scander yesterday. We built our pond in 2007. We had it, is it drop tested or and we've passed it, it's fine. And he says to me, you say, oh, you've also got to go and get a structural engineer now to test the sides. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you've got to go and find out that it's safe. And I said, well, hang on, Don. We've done the drop test. Nothing's leaking. It's been there for 10 years now. Why are we going to spend another $3,000 proving the sides are correct? It's just ludicrous money. We're spending enough money down doing shoutabouts. Increasing that, we don't need these charges. We've built the pond. The pond's fine. The drop test is there. We've passed all the other consents. Then we find more rules. But go back to your question on with dairy. Now, I think we have to be aware of the environment. We know a hell of a lot more about soils. We know a hell of a lot of other stuff. And we say, this area here, if you want to milk cows, this is a requirement. And I think that's probably the way forward. Our consent when we built it was built all on honesty with the people we built the consents from. We were said you can milk so many cows. We've gone this period of time without hardly any crosses to our name. We've proved that we can go and do it. We should be left alone to go and do it. But as I said, when we come to do our son's daughter and son's block, this block here is going to go into their side of the dairy farm. They'll have 200 acres of it, and because of nutrient loss, we're not allowed to winter on this. And I accept that. That's fine.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. No, sorry, it was a bit of a complicated question, even though it was a short one. But you've answered it very well, so I think I understand what you're saying. You did talk a lot, and your main concern seemed to be about the slope rule.
Yeah.
do you think there should be a limit, or how do you think?
I go back to a moral ground, and I have this problem with like you'll pick on say Glenarry and Argyll just because everybody knows their names. They were granted given the carrot of freeholding their land if they retired their summer country. Mm-hmm. Okay, so hell, that's great. We get to have our land freehold. It's our land. So they brought all their stuff down from the high country for the summer, yeah. And they say, "Rightio, that's yours. You can do what you like." So instantly they had to go and start working up land that would never have been done up had we not interfered through DOC or the government or whoever did it. All of a sudden, they created the problem of these guys having to winter their stock. Or that because they had it all out there in the summer, wilding pines have got away and all the other weeds and pests have disappeared because those farmers looked after that land. Now they've come down, and this goes back before you guys got involved, and they started working this land. Now, you and I and everybody else knows, we've all talked about, what the hell are they doing there? But they had to do it to make it pay, and they were given the incentive to say, this is what you can go and do if you give us this land. Now we're saying to them, hey, we're going to change the rules again. We're going to keep your summer country, but you're not going to be allowed to work this land. So if you're coming back to answering, do we need to have a degree of slope? Mm-hmm. Yes, we probably do, but what do we do to those poor people that we've put these restrictions on? So my answer is I don't really know. I don't think, in my own heart, that we're ever going to stop runoff, no matter what you do. We are just coming in today, we see flat paddocks with dirt and nutrients coming off them. we can slow it down. You know, this is a good start, but what you do to people on steeper ground, you've got a wee problem. But we've set ourselves up for this, haven't we? Or I think we have.
Thanks very much. No, that's very good.
You good?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Conlon. First of all, whereabouts are your properties in the Gore district?
We're between halfway between McNab and Tapanui.
9.43 k's on the Gore on the Waikiki Valley Highway.
Oh, am I supposed to be showing you?
Left.
Where's that little beeper thing? Is this the button? Where do you push the... there's Gore, that's the Tapanui Road, is it?
Yep.
Yeah. So 9.43 k's from the Waikiki Valley turnoff.
Oh, yeah.
So sort of just about in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You've been opposite McIntyre Road?
Yes. Right opposite McIntyre Road. Yeah.
Undulating rolling hill.
Yeah. And the block we bought probably gone from rolling to steeper, like
there. Yeah. So we're probably just a wee bit up along here, and this is the farm here. Yeah. This is a bloody old photo. That's the house, the dairy shed's in there. But this is the farm up here along. This is ages ago.
It goes right over.
Yeah, it goes right to the back of Bogue Road. And then back down along.
Keep going.
Yeah. Along there, and then straight back down here to the main road. So this was the original dairy farm that was converted. Acres. And this is the extra block that was bought that my sister's looking at converting. That's where the photo was taken for that swale, was just up here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So earlier on in your presentation, you mentioned K-on, I wasn't quite
sure. K-line.
Oh, K-line.
Sorry, I was a bit more nervous then.
You know, I'm familiar with K-line.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Now, you obviously operated with some resource consents.
As was pointed out to me the other day, probably since we've gone dairy farming, we live under consents more than our other mates. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're familiar with the process and the necessity for that. You just seem to be concerned with an increasing, are you?
Our consents, like we've got a 10-year dairy consent,
yeah.
And that's like if we went to consent for working land, well, I'd like another 10-year consent. We just have our audits, our yearly audits are probably through Fonterra rather than they're put out to Environment South, and we've just come to accept them. You know, they test our they just mainly shed things, and our effluent is under consent, yeah.
They give you security by having resource consent for your operation to function?
We do some in Otago, and when we first got going in Otago, there were no real rules. You sort of just, if you broke them, you got dealt with. In Southland, if you know where you stand and know what the rules are, you can work within them. But Otago sometimes, well, if the rules keep moving, it's nice if you know, right, if you can't do that.
He's answered yes to your question.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it was pointed out to me, yeah, as dairy farmers, we've lived under consents. Where it makes me trouble, how do you tell between 21 and 22 and 23? Who is going to do that? There's, within a consent, the person that comes is often variable to that consent, if you understand where we're coming from.
Yeah.
And I went back to the We probably do need a rule to a certain degree, so that you, the 10% that cause problems are can be hauled into line. But how you do that is hard.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to.
I understand your predicament, but I've come here for the 22 degree rule, probably not to be a rule. I can understand your buffer zones, it works really good, and I don't think we're not here to lose our soil. I think that's the difference between farming and lawmakers. I've tried to point out we have taken out areas that we could actually have cows on. So I'm not here on the other end to try and break the rules on the other side of it. So like all the sand we've taken out, we still pay rates on. We're still fenced all off at our own expense, and this was done before anybody asked us to do it. So that's just where I'm coming to say. I'd like the 22 degree rule to be amended or not be as tough.
Thank you
for your presentation. Regarding your buffer zones, you've talked quite a bit about the impact and how beneficial they are on a winter program.
Yep.
You just talk us through how you manage them for the rest of the year. Do you top dress them? Do you ever regrass them? Do you graze them? Just what happens when?
It's interesting you say this, because we've now got our fert trucks, and we say to them, we don't want the tops of our hills done. You know, facility, we're already
started up naturally.
We're saying just go around the where it's not growing and put a bit more on there. What's the other you were talking about?
Well,
regrass. When we regrass that particular paddock, to see the whole lot will be done.
Right.
But we do. We can like I've had friends that have had to sow their paddock in the height of summer two times because they get a thunderstorm. You know, it's an act of God. We have to work. Accept this. Now you turn your tap on for water in town, and you think you're going to get water every morning, but you might have one of your pipes crack. You know, it's just.
Sorry. So when you work up the paddock after the winter crop, you regrass all of that.
Yes.
Buffer zone area. Right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the buffer zone, because all that is weeds, and we have to that comes productive land.
Yeah, just two things. First one, more a comment, that Derek has a number of audits, so Ag Assure does all the Monterra ones, and then EES does compliance with these ones. So you're quite used to having people coming on and going through and making sure that you're meeting the standards or whatever they are, whether dairy standards or environmental standards, they set out in consent. But so that's just a comment. The real question I had was on the photo you had up there. I noticed there's actually quite a bit of bank damage on those photos, and I was just wondering what your view was on actually securing the bank, that one there on the bottom left, securing that bank damage, because that is slumping, that waterway is obviously on a bend and it's causing some problems.
Yeah, that was there even before we put the cows.
So what would you do to that, and what would you like to do to that to actually look after the waterway and look after the
that's part of the 200 acres we've bought. The fence will go on the top, and we've got another one just further up. That's there's a better photo. Yeah.
This one. Probably got that.
It just goes further out here, and that'll just get planted in the trees. We've got another one. We've got another one further down, just to the left, and it's been fenced off, and it's already in a plantation now.
Okay. That's fine, thank you.
That's good. And thank you very much.
So Carl just had a wee question.
I I'm sorry, it might be off track a wee bit, but the thing that sort of is, like, we're with the creeks and the rivers and like, cutting into the banks and all that, the area that we farm is sort of man-made, like it's been developed and it's been dressed up like if we're not allowed to touch or keep an eye on it or help, like, keep it, like, if we could take the inside of that bank off with the digger and a dry spell and keep the creek a bit straighter, it'll stop a lot of that happening. It's, if we let it go back naturally to wild, it'll just end up spilling.
Oxbows.
How do you put it? Like, we're in a man-made sort of environment. If we don't do anything, it's going to revert back to what it should be, and that'll be all swamp land and everything else. So needs to be a wee bit of allowing us to
give and take.
Allow us to take a wee bit of that creek, keep it straight, to cut it from stopping all the banks falling in and all the creeks. So all the fences that we put up, if we don't do anything, they're just going to be eaten away, dropped, all the trees will, for the creeks naturally doing what they're supposed to do. So it's, yeah, just a wee bit of allowing us to keep a man-made structure without it going back completely to the wild. And I don't know how, yeah, as I said, I don't know how you guys are going to do that, but yeah.
I understand your point.
Yeah. Sorry if it came out a bit waffly.
No, that's all right. That's good. And I don't have any further questions. Thank you very much for taking the time to come in and present your views to us.
You guys weren't too bad at all.
Oh, you weren't bad either.
Oh, I was the best last night.
Right, thank you for that.